In the Balance by Mark Taverner. Starring Michael Williams as George Craig and Barry Foster as Detective Chief Inspector Frank Jefferson.
Yes, right here, Caroline.
Good. We'll do your crime piece after, Max.
Uh-huh.
In three, Max. One, two...
England today is a country deep in shock. The flags are at half-mast, and so are the dreams of a nation.
Oh, my God.
Football's coming home, they said. It's coming home. They never told us it would be arriving in a coffin.
Eat your heart out, David Dimbleby.
Danimo, the jewel of English football, has been brutally murdered. England reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup last night. Today, it seemed hardly to matter. Bottles of champagne were popped. Today, they're stale, flat, and half-drunk.
And so are you.
No, you are.
We seem to be getting some interference, Max.
The interference is from the BBC's crime correspondent. He's trying to put me off.
I'm not trying to put him off. I haven't heard anything like this in 30 years of journalism. Carry on, Max.
I won't say another word. At Wembley Stadium, schoolchildren, truant but reverent, dropped their flowers, quietly weeping. A newspaper headline fluttering in the doleful breeze seems to sum up the feelings of England. It says, Danny Moe, a nation weeps. Do you mind?
Sorry. But is it all right if we do some real journalism now?
So the Deputy Prime Minister is here.
Oh, good. Always a pleasure.
I demand your resignation.
Of course you do. Three times a week on current calculations, John Matthews demands PM's resignation shock horror. Oh, what is it this time?
The murder of England's leading footballer is an outrage, a slur on this nation, an affront.
Matthews, I hardly think that even you can make a drama out of the death of a ghastly proletarian. Do we propose to make a drama out of it, Crispin?
Certainly not.
Prime Minister, the nation is in crisis.
Crisis?
What crisis? I have to warn you, I will take whatever steps I consider appropriate.
Really? How does the man expect to become Prime Minister by seeing a catastrophe around every corner? Let's have Radio 4 on.
Right.
I bet the Daily Communist programme scarcely mentions the event.
The Times says yesterday's murder is a national tragedy. And in the opinion of the Daily Telegraph, the murder of a young footballer is profoundly symptomatic of a deep-seated national malaise.
Ooh.
Whilst the Guardian declares, we shall not see his bike again.
And that concludes our review of the papers. Now we're going back to Wembley Stadium, where our crime correspondent, George Craig, has the latest.
Police have established that Danny Mole's death here at Wembley Stadium was due to poisoning, but they've given no further details. Meanwhile, it's emerged that if the nation is mourning the star's death, the same is not true of his teammates. Danny Mole was adored by millions, but deeply disliked by many who actually knew him. This is George Craig for BBC News and the police incident room at Wembley Stadium.
So they all like it, did they, George?
Yeah, looks like it. You know the chant the supporters were all singing last night?
What, give him the ball, he scores a goal. Danny Mole?
In the dressing room, it's give him a bung. He'll sell you his soul, Danny Mole.
But he was on 30 grand. What did he need to go rigging games for?
Why be on 30 grand when he can be on 50? Oh, before I forget, Frank, did the killer leave a note again?
Yeah, in the victim's football boot, George, there. Yeah.
One corpse at Wembley, there's only one corpse at Wembley. Yours in sport, World Cup Willy. Cocky swine.
We know all the previous victims were involved in politics and very pro-Europe. But a footballer...
It's the same killer, Frank. The note tells us that. And all our suspects were there. The Prime Minister's wife...
John Matthews is our man.
But he was in the warm box. He didn't move the whole map.
But he moved before the match, didn't he?
Eh?
He met the players and shook hands with them.
He was a national hero, Prime Minister. He just scored England's winning goal in the World Cup match.
But his death has driven our European initiative off the front pages.
Then we must get it back on the front pages.
What do you suggest, Crispin?
A tour of the major European capitals.
Come again?
We put Britain's case to our European partners, secure the maximum support for our proposals, and return home to a grateful nation and a grateful party, which is more to the point.
Ah, yes. Yes, of course. Brilliant.
Miss Danny Mole's locker?
That's the one, Superintendent. Your boys were on here earlier, taking fingerprints.
So, it's Italy in the quarterfinals, Harry. I wouldn't fancy that if I were England manager.
Criminals and pants.
Who win matches?
Nothing there.
You're looking for something in particular, Superintendent.
Did Danny Mole have heart trouble at all?
Not at all. He was a spoilt, overpaid young brat, didn't have a heart.
very compassionate.
Why do you ask, Frank?
Bottle of Digitalis was found in his bag. It's a heart drug. Our pathologist's initial report confirms traces of it in the body.
Given by syringe?
Presumably.
Oh. So have you found a needle mark or a bruise? He just played a football match, man. He was covered in bruises.
Which is making our job all the harder. Well, I appreciate your help, Mr. Davis.
Yeah. Good luck in a match, mate. Oh, I don't need luck, George. Not now I've got every one of my players toxin-free.
You what?
I haven't let them have so much as a cup of tea, man. I'm telling you, George, my players are as pure as the driven snow.
Yeah, but snow doesn't win football matches, Harry.
Yeah, we'll soon see about that.
Right, George, I'm off to see Matthews.
Yeah,
I bet you can't wait.
As long as I'm in charge of this case, I'm not having somebody murdering their way to becoming Prime Minister.
With permission, Madam Speaker, I wish to make a statement about the deplorable tragedy that occurred last night at Wembley Stadium. I was present at last night's event. Immediately before the kickoff, I shook the hand of a young man who was later to be so tragically struck down. This morning, I saw the Prime Minister. It pains me to have to tell the House that his response was, "Crisis? What crisis?" The Prime Minister then informed me that he was too busy to address this House. Too busy! And as we speak, the Prime Minister is at Heathrow.
Good riddance.
He has gone to resolve our problems with our European partners and to assert Britain's right to determine her own future. Some might think that at this, of all times, when we have been shamed in the eyes of the world, he has chosen an improbable moment. But I wish him every success.
Why did I choose you?
Come in.
Good morning, madam. I have a message for you from the Prime Minister.
I don't believe it. My husband sent his minion to deliver the anniversary card.
I'm sorry? Did you mention an anniversary card?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because 30 years ago today, Crispin, my husband said, "I will."
Ah.
It was the last time he's ever made a positive decision. If he could have done, he'd have put it to a referendum.
This is most embarrassing.
Oh, God, he's forgotten, hasn't he? He's forgotten it's our anniversary.
Madam, am I right in thinking that you were expecting to see your husband at some point today?
See him? Well, having endured 30 years of constituency cheese and wine parties with cheesy people who whine a lot, and having suffered 30 years of diplomatic evenings with people who make me want to declare war, and having sacrificed just about everything that made life worthwhile for the sake of my husband's career, I would say yes, I am expecting to see him.
The thing is, madam, there's a slight problem.
He'll be late for dinner.
In a very real sense, yes.
He's in an emergency cabinet?
Not as such, no. He's in Belgium.
Belgium?
On vital national business.
Did you say Belgium?
He is the Prime Minister, madam.
Oh, God.
I have to say, David, I could get rather used to this office.
I mean, it's not usual for an acting Prime Minister to move into number 10, you know. The PM's only going to be gone for another few days.
Ah, but these are exceptional circumstances, David. After all, I shall be in permanent residence before long.
Now, I don't think I care for these curtains, do you? I fancy something red, white and blue.
I do think you should wait until you've signed the lease, so to speak.
Now, to Prime Ministerial business.
You know, before you start signing papers, there's a Superintendent Jefferson to see.
Oh, the little man from Scotland Yard. Very well.
Yeah, come in, Superintendent.
Deputy Prime Minister?
Acting Prime Minister.
Oh, so you're acting now, are you, sir? Well, take my advice. Don't give up the day job.
Oh, very droll, Superintendent. Tell me, what happens to police officers who fail to solve murder cases? Do they have to give up the day job?
We'll have to hope that I catch him then, won't we?
Indeed we will.
And that's why I'm here, sir.
Of course it is. Well, who benefits? Isn't that what you chaps ask on these occasions?
I don't need you
well,
to tell
now,
me.
Well, now, let's see. The murder of one of our best-known sporting personalities in front of a worldwide audience. What do you think the effects might be? A crisis of law and order, demands for change at the top? Perhaps even a new Prime Minister?
That thought had occurred to me.
I'm sure. And have you got any evidence to convict me yet?
Not as yet, sir.
Well, keep trying. Now, let me show you out.
I've still got one or two more questions, actually, Mr. Matthews.
Well, when I've closed the door, you can knock on it and say, one last thing, sir, and by the way, my wife, Mrs. Columbo, is a big fan of yours. Isn't that what happens?
Well, not really, sir, no. You see, my wife, Mrs. Jefferson, thinks you're a complete prat.
A burden I shall struggle to bear with fortitude.
You know what really puzzles me? Why a footballer? I mean, all the others were political.
Baffling, isn't it?
Still, I'll get there. You know, it's funny, you mentioned my wife.
I'm sorry I don't meet with her approval.
She's a very good judge of character. When I met her, she was a bus conductor in East Ham.
Really?
Jefferson, she used to say, it may be a humble job, but it teaches you human nature. You can always tell the ones who mean to get off without pain.
How perfectly fascinating.
And I'll tell you what, sir, whoever did these murders isn't going to get off without pain. Don't you worry.
And the main headline again. A memorial service for the murdered footballer Danny Mole will be held at Wembley later today, before England's latest World Cup match against Italy. Leading figures from the worlds of football, show business and politics are expected to attend. BBC Radio News.
Thanks, everybody. Good bulletin. I will need an update on the PM for the next bulletin.
Can I have a word?
If you must.
You remember our discussion about your future in the newsroom?
Of course I do. You told me the management were hoping I'd make a monumental cock-up so they could sack me.
But it hasn't worked, has it?
Your reporting's been fine, George. But this question of bimediality...
Yes, of course. If they can't get rid of me, they'll merge my job with television and only keep one of us on.
Well, there was a meeting this morning.
Go on.
And final decision about the crime correspondent position is being made in 2 weeks.
Now, what you're saying is the final decision's already been taken.
BBC News at noon. The Prime Minister looks set to return home empty-handed from his tour of European capitals. Here's our diplomatic correspondent.
It looks like a case of Royaume-Uni, nil point. Earlier today, I spoke to the German Chancellor, who's leading the push for full European political union. I first asked him how confident he was of securing agreement for his plans.
All the member states have given us their support, except, of course, the British. The British want Europe to shy away from these vital decisions.
And what is your response to the British demands?
We have listened very carefully to the British proposals, and we say this. Set. I'm sorry. The British proposals.
The German Chancellor.
Il prossimo volo per Milano è tra 5 minuti. The next flight to Milano...
Crispin! Thank God you're here. Any urgent messages?
A couple from the Middle East.
Yes?
A good luck telegram from the President of the United States.
Ah, that's...
And this.
Your marriage is finished and so are you. Sign the mad cow.
It may be something to do with the fact that it's your 30th wedding anniversary, Prime Minister.
Is it really? Is it really?
Apparently.
Oh, well, buy her a present. We're in Italy, get her something, well, Italian. The point is, Crispin, this business is becoming a disaster.
Oh, I don't think we should give up just yet, do you? I have a hunch that the Prime Minister of Italy could turn out to be our strongest supporter.
But Italy is one of the main beneficiaries of Europe. They get billions from the EU.
That's exactly what I mean. I understand the Prime Minister of Italy's bank statements are extremely revealing. Perhaps you should ask him to explain them.
Bridget Kendall from Washington with a piece.
What the devil's all that, Joe? Well, I'm just off to see John Matthews, Deputy Prime Minister and Prime Murder Suspect, and this is every cutting we've got on file, every speech he's ever made. He's a very strange man, Max.
Is he?
Listen, this is what he told the Telegraph.
Uh-huh.
Why, of all places, did the Industrial Revolution start here in England? Because capitalism is uniquely suited to the genius and industry of the English people.
True.
He goes on to say, England, my England, gentle and tolerant, unbending and resolute, uniquely, ultimately, utterly alone, my England. People don't talk like that, do they, Max?
Only if the matter's hatter, though, boy.
Exactly. The man's a fanatic. Says here he was educated at Lansing College and Peterhouse. Starred first in history.
Oh, let's see.
And this... Hello? What's this?
George?
Well, what do you know? I think I've just found something that links our precious acting Prime Minister to the victims.
So, indications are, David, that not one single member state is prepared to back the Prime Minister.
That's what we're hearing, acting Prime Minister.
And what's the mood on the back benches? How are your colleagues taking it?
I think it would be fair to say, terminally.
Good. I think we can start thinking about those curtains now, don't you?
Yep, and other minor considerations, such as the shape of your cabinet, perhaps.
Don't worry, David. I shan't forget my friends. Cheers.
Cheers.
Now, where's the Prime Minister got left? Italy. I can't see him getting much change there, can you?
Zuppa. I'm sorry? Zuppa. Yes, it is. It is most enjoyable.
No, Prime Minister. Zuppa is the Italian for soup.
Ah.
Signor Leone's kitchen is reckoned to be the best of any Prime Minister in Europe. It's extraordinary that he can afford such magnificence. Isn't that so, Signor Leone?
You know, Prime Minister, when I look at the state of your British politics, I'm reminded that in Italy, when we say a man is dead,
yes,
we say he lives with the fishes. Have some fish.
Well, actually, you know, the Prime Minister was only saying to me this morning, weren't you, Prime Minister?
Was I?
That when he thinks of your future as Italian Prime Minister,
yes,
he's reminded that in our country the slang for dead is brown bread. Have some bread.
Thank you. Well, in our country, when a man is losing his grip, we say he's losing the soul of his party. Lemon soul, Prime Minister.
Oh, yes, please. But let me tell you that in our country, Mr. Leone, when a man has lost the soul of his party, we say to that man, ta-ta, tartar sauce.
And in my country, when we say a man has been pan-fried, his squid ink and fennel,
yes,
we mean that he has been pan-fried, his squid ink.
Prime Minister Leone, please, I haven't toured 14 European capitals in 3 days in order to talk about pan-fried squid ink and fennel.
I'm so sorry.
Crispy, lad.
Sir.
To business, please.
Signor Leone.
Signor Trente.
I wonder if you'd be good enough to cast your eye over these.
Bank statements?
In the name of Leone, Signor Leone.
Ah.
You see, in my country, we're just about to develop a new saying. I think it'll go something like, the Italian Prime Minister has pissed in his chips.
Some chips, Signor Leone.
Mr. Craig, there's no secret about my ambition to lead the Tory party. It's hardly an ignoble ambition.
Oh, there's nothing ignoble about it. I'll grant you. Would I be right in saying you're a British patriot, Mr. Matthew?
I am an English nationalist. And I think you'll find that when the history of the 1990s is written, English nationalism will come to be seen as the prevailing zeitgeist, as it were. An intellectual joke, Mr. Craig?
My intellect's wetting itself. Now, you've read history at Peterhouse, Cambridge, under the legendary Michael Salisbury. First class honours, I think.
A starred first, actually.
You were a right little swot, weren't you? Even published a book while you were still a student. What was it called? Do Conservatives Think?
How kind of you to buy a copy.
I got it in a jumble sale, actually. And I read this essay in it about Winston Churchill.
Mr. Craig, I agreed to meet a crime correspondent because I thought we were going to discuss law and order.
I won't keep you, Mr. Matthews. I just want to read this to you. In Churchill's case, it is interesting to ponder this. When a great nation is suffering from self-delusion and one man alone can see the truth with piercing clarity, what steps is that man justified in taking to save that nation from itself? Would even murder be justified if no other way existed for that man to reach his political summit?
A purely academic problem, Mr. Craig.
I reckon. Well, you wanted me to ask you by law and order. James Yale, murder victim. The Earl of Battersea, murder victim. Do you know they were both contemporaries of yours at Cambridge?
So were thousands of others.
Oh, but you must remember those two, sir.
So?
They were both on the executive of the Cambridge Union the year you ran for president. You weren't, of course. But it was tragic what happened to your rival, wasn't it? Just remind me, acting Prime Minister. It was a car crash, wasn't it?
Mr. Craig, this interview is now at an end. I will be speaking to your editor.
Have you ever heard of a drug called Digitalis, Mr. Matthews?
This interview is over.
Good for the heart. Except in toxic doses, of course. Then it overstimulates the heart, causing nausea and blurred vision.
Could be a problem for somebody driving a car, couldn't it?
Good day.
Or for somebody racing about on a football field for 90 minutes.
Are you suggesting that I have been putting European Union grant money into my own bank account?
We are not suggesting it.
We are proving it.
Conclusively. Prime Minister, please. I was selected to clean up Italian politics. If this should be made public, I am finished.
That's rather the way we saw it, isn't it, Crispin?
Mm. Of course, we did think of an alternative, didn't we, Prime Minister?
Didn't we think that if Signor Leone could see his way to supporting our position on Europe,
then none of this need ever become public at all?
Really?
Yes, all you have to do is to support the British position against Europe, Prime Mafia. I mean, Prime Minister.
But that is blackmail of the crudest kind.
In a nutshell, Signor. Or on a meat hook, perhaps.
I should countenance such hypocrisy. What do I have to do?
You simply have to state publicly.
Very publicly.
That any future development of the European Union should fully respect the sovereignty and independence of the British people.
Well, I suppose that that no means so very much.
It means that I get to stay on as Prime Minister.
And so do you.
You wouldn't believe this, George. What? They're going to parade Danny Mole's coffin down Wembley Way right into the stadium here. Then there's going to be a memorial service before the match against Italy. You'd think he was Winston Churchill or something.
Yeah, it's footballers, Frank. They're more famous than politicians nowadays.
Speaking of politicians, any luck with Matthews?
No, I've got him battling rattle, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm right, and Georgie's our boy.
I still think we're missing something. I tell you what, though, this occasion's tailor-made for the killer, whoever he is. All the top brass are going to be here.
Yeah, oh, hold on. Superintendent Jefferson. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Bob. Are you pulling my truncheon?
What is it, Frank?
The Pope
is playing centre-forward for Italy.
He's at Heathrow.
He's what?
He's at Heathrow. The Pope is on his way to Wembley to attend a memorial service and address the young people of the world, and I've been asked to make sure he gets here and back safely.
The Pope? Right, I want a special news team at Heathrow. I want live commentary on his cavalcade all the way to Wembley.
Caroline.
I want live coverage of the speech.
Caroline, we're covering the memorial service anyway. There's a news team already at Wembley.
What? Oh, I suppose there is, yes.
Now, are you in the market for a background colour piece?
Look, not just now, Max. I want somebody who can do sport and politics. Inverdale. Get Inverdale.
John Inverdale's already at Wembley. Caroline, calm down.
We better flash the news to listeners. Interrupt Radio 4 and Radio 5 live. Tell them the Pope's coming. Clear the schedule for the next 2 hours. Now, who's going to Heathrow?
Can I buy you a drink, madam?
Well, I'm supposed to be down there with the procession. Oh, on the other hand, why not? I'm Joe.
The Prime Minister's wife, I know. George Craig. BBC Radio.
Ah.
Are you here representing your husband?
I'm here to watch the football match. Oh, and by the way, if you're going to smoke, use this.
Good God. What is it?
A Leaning Tower of Pisa ashtray.
Oh, so it is.
Today is my wedding anniversary. I was expecting champagne, the Prime Ministerial limo, and dinner at the Connaught. What I got was a Leaning Tower of Pisa ashtray with sorry scribbled on its bum.
Are you going down to the ceremony, or shall I get you that drink?
Gin and tonic.
Right.
But George Craig, you're the journalist covering the murders.
That's right. A gin and tonic and a Guinness, please, mate.
Yes, right, sir.
Well, look, I might have a story for you.
Really?
Can we go somewhere quiet?
And as the cortege halts in the middle of the pitch, His Holiness the Pope descends from the papal helicopter and kisses the famous turf. The Pope, we understand, will be speaking in Latin, and we have with us Professor Doppel of Lancaster University, who will provide a simultaneous translation.
Hello.
The pontiff approaches the microphone.
Ave, ave, juvenis mundi.
Hail, hail, young people of the world.
In sapientium vos tucere papam o fac me.
Make me, the Holy Father, lead you into wisdom.
Non intoxicata in jacenda sunt.
Do not inject yourself with drugs.
Non pumpius, non pumpius, non bestialum vociendum.
Do not engage in unusual carnal practices.
Ave, atque, vade.
Hail, and goodbye.
And a reverent silence descends over Wembley as the young people of the world digest the message. I can see the England manager, Harry Davis, himself a devout Catholic, standing with his team. I can see a group of Millwall supporters looking particularly pensive. And as His Holiness departs, we await now the England-Italy football match.
Now, great live broadcast, everybody. I want highlights packages for all the main bulletins. Well done. Well done, Max.
But I didn't do anything.
But you did it very well. For once in my life, I feel like a drink.
Good heavens. Put out the flag.
I paged George at Wembley saying I'd buy him a drink, but he hasn't got back.
He's probably fainted with shock, Caroline.
So, he left with the Prime Minister's wife.
I had a lot of drink orders, sir, but I seem to remember them going over there towards the conference room.
Oh, right.
But I'm sure...
What?
I'm pretty sure Mr. Cragg went into the gents about 10 minutes ago.
I knew it! So, this is the new sober George Cragg, is it? Flat out on the Carsy floor. Come on, George! Come on, you old lush. Come. George. But. I got. Sergeant. Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Get an ambulance. I think George Cragg's been murdered.